Philippians 2, verses 19 to 24, these are God's words. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. You've probably heard people who, when they're saying their plans, they don't want to be like the farmer who thought that he would build bigger barns and fill them, and that he would enjoy himself for a long time, and he was a fool because his soul would be required of him. Those who say, come, let's go to such and such city and buy and sell and so forth. And scripture says in cases like that to use the phrase, Lord willing. You shouldn't say, I will do this. You should say, Lord willing, I will do this. That's a good thing to say about your plans. Lord willing, I will do this. Or Lord willing, I will do that. But when your plans are things that are not about earthly provision and pleasure, which are not in and of themselves bad, but are not the priority of our lives, when your plans are things that are good and in the service of the Lord and of others, especially of his people, it is even better to say, I trust in the Lord Jesus too, in talking about some kind of service that you want to do for the Lord and for his church. You see, the apostle here used that in verse 19, and then again in verse 24. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. And then in verse 24, I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. So this gives you another way of talking and thinking about what you are going to do. It's good to say, Lord willing, I'll do this. Lord willing, I'll do that. It's also good to say, to use the Bible pattern here given to us, to say, I trust in the Lord Jesus to wake up early tomorrow and read my Bible and pray, and then be able to finish with a good will my school quickly so that I can serve mom and be an extra pair of hands and feet for her for the rest of the morning. I trust in the Lord Jesus to keep the Lord's day well and encourage others in keeping the day well on the coming Lord's Day. I trust in the Lord Jesus to do a better job paying attention this week to the sermon than I have lately. I trust in the Lord Jesus to use the time that I'm falling asleep upon my bed tonight for prayer, like I heard about and thought about from Psalm 17 in the lesson, the scripture lesson in the prayer meeting this week. I trust in the Lord Jesus too. It's a good thing, a good way to think about what we're going to do. But if you're going to say, I trust in the Lord Jesus to do something, you had better be doing what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. You say, I trust in the Lord Jesus to commit some terrible sin. Of course not. But there are people who justify all kinds of things that come from their own flesh and that they haven't even considered, because perhaps they don't even know the Bible well enough to consider that the thing that they want to do is wicked, and yet they say, the Lord told me to do this, or the Lord gave me this thought, or some other blasphemy that they add to their own wicked intentions by bringing the Lord and some special revelation idea into it. God help us, and God help them. But you see, he says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to do what? To send Timothy to them. Where did Timothy learn the proven character for which Paul is trusting in the Lord Jesus to send them? He says, verse 22, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Perhaps if I were a great craftsman in wood or some other craft, and the boys were apprenticing with me. Someone would be able to see in the work that they did later in life, oh, that looks like a James Hakim. Are you the son of that James Hakim? I can see it in your work. Well, Timothy's proven character was learned by watching and learning the manner in which Paul ministered the gospel and served the churches night and day with all his heart and all his effort, wanting not to cost anyone anything, with a clear conscience before God, and boldness to declare the whole counsel of God, all these other things that we know about how Paul served in the churches. Timothy had learned that. Timothy had learned to love the church as especially Christ's church. Because you see what he is describing when he says his proven character. We have some details about that character that he learned from Paul in verses 20 and 21. He says, "For I have no one like-minded," and the implication is no one as like-minded, or perhaps there were times in his ministry where he actually ran out of like-minded people. And he would say, "Hurry, send to me Mark, send to me Timothy, there's nobody left. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." We do know that he had one like-minded that he was going to send. That's Epaphroditus, and we're going to hear about him in the next paragraph. "But who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." You hear what the apostle is saying here. That if you seek the things that are of Christ Jesus, then instead of seeking your own state, you will especially seek the good, the well-being of his people. Why will Timothy sincerely care for the state of the Philippian church? Because Timothy is seeking to care for those things that Christ cares about. He's not like other people who seek for their own instead of seeking that which is for Christ, that which is of Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul can say, "I trust in the Lord to do this, I trust in the Lord to do that." Why? Because he's not doing what Paul's flesh wants to do. He's not seeking so much the good of Paul. He's seeking the good of the Lord's people, because that's what Christ is seeking. That's what Christ is always doing in this world, is gathering in those elect that he has loved from before the world has began, building that church that is the whole point of history, and that will be the only thing left when history is done and he wipes everything else out. The thing that will go into the new heavens and the new earth is the church. And the building of the church is what this age is about. And so that's what Christ is after. And so that's what Paul is after. And that's what Timothy, learning from Paul, apprenticing under Paul, learned to be after. "I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character." And so I wonder if people who had observed us, like they had observed Paul and they had observed Timothy, would be able to say they know our proven character. If they had observed our attendance, if they had observed our giving, if they had observed the manner in which we worship, the reverence and the diligence and the joy and the grief under conviction of sin with which we worship. If they observed the effort we put in and the gladness with which to do it, and how we're not sour when we have duties that we do for the church and nobody else shows up to do them with us. Are we doing them for recognition and to feel like others are doing them with us? Or are we not seeking our own, but seeking the things which are of Christ Jesus? Would someone who was going to send us to a church that had observed the way we are in our own church be able to say, "But you know her proven character. You know their proven character. You know his proven character." So let us trust in the Lord for what we are going to do, but let us take seriously the fact that in order to be able to say and think that way about our plans legitimately, then they need to be plans that are participating in his, that are especially for the glory of God and the building up of his church. Let's pray. Oh Lord, grant the working of your Spirit on our minds and on our hearts, that we would be like apprentices under Christ, that we would learn from our elder brother, who himself is the chief cornerstone, from whom the rest of the foundation comes, and the apostles and prophets, upon whom the whole building is built, up into whom we grow as his body up into the head. And so we pray, O Lord, that your Spirit would use this portion of your word, the time that we have spent together in it, to make our heart and our effort to be aimed at serving you and the building of your church until the work is done and this world is over and you are glorified and you have given to us to be perfected in holiness, so that that glory is our great desire and is infinitely abundantly fulfilled. Pray for my children, that in a world and even in an age in the church where we could almost say we have no one like this, that you, O God, would have mercy upon them, and by your blessing upon the word, make them like this. Make them not so much like their earthly father, though I pray that you would make me a faithful example to them, but make us all like Christ, we ask, in his name. Amen.